You're listening to the JT The Brick Show, where the Raider Nation has come to sound off and react for over 20 years.
It's time for JT The Brick.
This is a new day. It's a new chapter. It's a new era. It's a new mindset.
Jacoby Myers in motion. O'Connell takes the snap, throws it out to him. He's going to throw to the end zone. Touchdown, Devontae!
I love hearing that sound.
You know, I thought at the end of the year it was nice. Allegiant Stadium started to turn into a home field advantage. You could hear the roar of the crowd.
Well, to me, it's not just unconventional. It's the right way, and it's our way.
Vegas is the global hub of the Raider Nation. Now it's got to act that way every home game.
Raider Nation, as I always say, you know, you show up and we'll show out.
JT The Brick.
It's a real thing. It's a tangible thing. You get in the building and you feel it.
It's a war to track down Kansas City. I've always been a big fan of running the football.
Hand up to Zamir. Cuts to the right side. First down, 35. First 40. Down the 50. Near side, 40. 35, 30. And Zamir White might have just salted away a Raiders win.
I'm always looking for opportunities to compete, man. And this is a great one here.
And now,
Raider Nation unite!
Here's JT The Brick.
Out of the gate, JT, we're ready to roll today. Live on YouTube, live on Raider Nation Radio, live on the Raiders mobile app. I think it's a fast-paced show. I wait around all day to do this show. My wife says, let's go. Get out of the house. Get in studio. Danny's in for Bobby today. Jared in hour number two. So we're going to have a good show today. I just left mom and dad who are taking the red eye tonight. My dad's 86. He's taking the red eye, Danny. Well, let's make sure I get into this a little bit later on. He'll take the red eye because he's very frugal and has done very well in his life. So he'll take the red eye at 86. He'll take the red eye from Vegas to Newark. My sister will pick him up in Newark and take him to New Paltz, New York. So it's a long day. Long day. And they'll leave tonight. They've been here for 10 or 11 days. So my heart is full because, again, if your parents are with you still, great. If they're not, you know what I'm talking about. It's great that I have my parents and they're able to travel and come out and visit me and my two sons and my wife. And we had a great, glorious time celebrating my dad's birthday, my son's birthday. Golf three rounds. Dad's getting around, man. He played nine twice and 18. Got around Bears best. 18 holes, man. Played it well. And that was a lot of fun. And then we've been watching sports at night. When my Yankees aren't blacked out, which is every night on the West Coast, we want to watch the Yankees on MLB. And we can't because they're blacked out. They're not on in San Diego. They're not on in Anaheim. Wait a second. I got rid of DirecTV. I went to YouTube TV. I got the MLB app. Oh, well, Joe, you need ESPN Plus. Well, my son has it. Look, put baseball on bleeping TV. You hear that, Rob Manfred? Put it on television on a lot of different channels. Don't tell me I'm being blacked out. It's a great topic here in Vegas because we were never the sports and entertainment capital of the world. We never were. Now we are. Why? Because every sports league wants to come here for entertainment. The girlfriends, the partners, the wives, the shopping, the gambling, the pool, the restaurants. Everybody wants to come to Vegas to play sports because when the game's over, they have not a 5 times better time, not a 10 times better time, but 100 times better time than they have in Kansas City. How'd you like to play the Royals on Wednesday night? At Kauffman Stadium, you get out of a Royal game, what do? Power and Light District? Barbecue? You don't go to the Wynn. You don't go to the Encore. You don't go to the Mandalay Bay. You don't go to Circa. There's nothing to do. So in Vegas, we have the hockey team that's already won the Cup. We have the Raiders that went from, like, whatever in valuation now to top 7. How'd that work out for all the detractors? Are there still, put it in the chat, are there still people, and Danny would know because he works on multiple shows, are there still people who are hiding under rocks in Vegas saying that the Raiders didn't work? We should have never brought them here. Oh, my God, how'd we bring the Raiders here? What about the roads? What about the schools? What about the hospitals? Stop. Everything's coming to Vegas because it's just more fun. We don't have a curfew. Do you understand if you don't want to go to bed at midnight, there's 4,000 places open to go have a drink? Nightclubs don't open till midnight out here. And I can't watch a Yankee game. I cannot watch a Yankee game unless I leave and go to a sports book, which I don't want. And I can't watch a Yankee game because MLB blacks out Las Vegas for the Diamondbacks, the Padres, the Angels. You got to be kidding me. I mean, are we going to get with the times or what? They're making us pay for everything, man. I just wrote a big check for my season tickets. All right, it's part of my life. I can afford season tickets. I'm going to pay for it. I don't like paying $20 a beer. I don't like buying apps. I now have Peacock. I have Amazon because I have a box delivered every 10 minutes to my house. So I get Amazon for free. I have Hulu. I have Netflix. I know I have Netflix. What else do I need? Do I need anything else? Are they going to hijack? Oh, The Zone? I want to watch boxing? Really? You want me to watch boxing in Saudi Arabia for $79.99? Really? Thanks for giving me the code, wink, wink. But how are people supposed to watch sports if you're going to hammer them away? And I'm on a rant here. This had nothing to do with the show, by the way. I just started off talking about my dad and me wanting to watch a Yankee game last night. We are getting purged. We are getting purged in 2024. This isn't political. It has nothing to do with inflation. The stock market's never been higher. All of our real estate has doubled or tripled in the last 4 years. Stop complaining. All right, life's been pretty good, but it's hard on a lot of other people who are barely affording rent, can barely afford to go to a game, cannot afford the price of a beer at $20. I mean, all these beer companies, I got a bunch of them, Modelo, Modelo, Modelo. And then all the spirit companies, I got a bunch of those too, and a big new one. We have got to find a way to let fans watch sports. I know we got to pay for some things. I get it. But we got to make it easier. Just got to make it easier, man. And the NFL has done it. The NFL has gone out, and they've put the NFL wherever you're not comfortable. They put it in Germany. They're putting it in South America this year. For a Phillies-Green Bay game. Philadelphia-Green Bay, you're making them play in San Paolo, really? You can't put that game at Lambeau Field? That's not big enough for you? You can't put it in Philadelphia at the Link? You can't. You got to move that down to San Paolo, Brazil? Okay, I get it. You want to expand the sport. Slow down with the price hikes of money. And this is a message to all of Las Vegas as I look into the screen. I've been kind of a mayor on the radio of Las Vegas. Name one guy on the radio that is more positive about Vegas than me. I mean, I'm just selling Vegas to the Bay Area, to L.A. I'm selling it to Fort Lauderdale. I love Vegas. You know that. Stop gouging us locals. Stop gouging us. So when you want to go out to dinner, you want to go out for drinks, you want to go to the pool, you want to park, stop it. We got it great. We got it better than anybody else. Don't screw it up. So that's the opening of the monologue, which was off the cuff. No writers, no teleprompters. Danny, one of the few shows left that don't have a teleprompter, don't have writers. Didn't have a three-hour breakfast show today. Just me ranting. All right, we're going to get to the Raiders and the coaches that spoke today. I want to get to Marvin Lewis coming up here in a little bit. We were able to spend some time with Marvin Lewis at the Raiders golf tournament last week at Rio Seco. A couple other events that I emceed, he was there. I don't know him well. He knows me now. I know him. I really believe the addition of Marvin Lewis is ultra important to this organization because Marvin Lewis was a defensive genius with Baltimore. And Ray Lewis, forget about Cincinnati for a minute. He was very productive in Cincinnati as a head coach. And I think that's some of the worst ownership I've ever seen in professional sports. Mike Brown, I'd say it to his face. If he walked in the room, I'd say it to his face like I do to everybody. I think Mike Brown is one of the worst owners in the history of North American sports. He literally didn't pay for anything from towels to upgrades on airlines to food. And Marvin Lewis coached there, and he didn't have much. I mean, they didn't have any perks in Cincinnati. Trust me, I've known players who've played there. And Marvin Lewis made them very competitive. But now, as someone who can be a guiding force to Antonio Pierce. Look, Antonio Pierce is going to have bad games. He's going to have bad losses. He's going to have bad practices. And for Antonio Pierce to go into Marvin Lewis's office and close the door and say, Coach, get me, you know, what I need to do better? And maybe Marvin Lewis will say, hey, I tried this. It worked for me. Maybe it'll work. So all Raider Nation should thank Marvin Lewis for coming here. He's not the head coach of the team. He's not the all-powerful, but the guy wants to win. The guy is built to win. He coached Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and the Baltimore Ravens, which Shannon Sharp, a Super Bowl team. I mean, he knows what it's like to play defense, and this defense is really coming on strong. It is really coming on strong. Now, as I often talk to you about the way the national media does not cover the Raiders correctly, they are not taking into account that the upgrades to the Raiders' defense, mainly Christian Wilkins, who's going to play defensive tackle and had a captain C on his jersey in Miami and is a great player, they're not taking into account that Christian Wilkins and Max Crosby might be at their best ever and are going to disrupt the game so badly that they're going to turn the ball over. I'm tying it back to Marvin Lewis and the Ravens. Remember the quarterback then, a guy by the name of Trent Dilfer. Would you say that Trent Dilfer, back in the day, was a lot better than Aiden O'Connell? I don't think he was. I'll say he's better. He won a Super Bowl. Aiden O'Connell hasn't won a playoff game. He did a Derek Carr. But you know what made the Ravens great? If you watch their 30 for 30 on their legendary team, is the ball was always turned over and given to Dilfer and that great offense. They had some good players, but the defense was loaded. And then they were able to score when they had to because the defense was like the offense. And I started thinking about this for a while. I started saying, how can the Raiders go from the national perception that they're only going to win 6.5 games, which last I looked is impossible. You got to either win 7 or 6 or 8. But how could they win 10 or 11 and make the playoffs? The way they're going to do it is threefold, in my opinion. And that's the focus of the monologue brought to you by PTs. They fuel the monologue 5 to 7, midnight to 2, the best happy hour in town. Own nothing. They own the Strat. On top of all these PTs and taverns, Sierra Golds, and everything we see. So my three-prong attack of how the Raiders can make the playoffs is simply this. Three parts, ready? Defense, and defense. That's it. Only chance we got. Now the offense is going to have explosive games. We put up 63 against the Chargers. 63, franchise record. With all due respect to Gannon, Plunkett, Stabler, LaMonica, Aiden O'Connell signed the wall with 63. That's on him. He was able to do that. We're not going to score 63 every game. And remember, that came off a zero. Remember, we lost 3-0? Ooh, we lost 3-0. I'll never forget that post-game show. I should have won some Radio Lifetime Achievement Award hosting the post-game show after we lost 3-0. We came back on a short week on a Thursday, put up 63 on who? Oh, that'd be the Chargers, the team that came in dead last, that everybody's kissing their ass now. And, oh, they're going to the AFC Championship game. Oh, the Chargers are going to be most improved. Oh, the Chargers are great. Oh, same old thing. Defense will be the difference with the Raiders this year. If the defense plays, and again, they were at the end of the year in the top 10 at 9, giving up 19.5 points a game. If they can improve on that, let's say the Raiders' defense, let's come up with a number. Let's say it's improved. Let's say the Raiders' defense gives up 18 points a game. Hey, that's pretty good. I wouldn't guarantee that. But last year they were trending in that direction. How many points do they got to score? You don't think they could get 2 field goals and 2 touchdowns? 1 touchdown in the first half, 1 in the second half, and 2 Carlson field goals? I think they can do that blindfolded. They're not giving you, the Raider Nation, any respect for being able to score. There are websites and insiders who are saying the Raiders don't have a quarterback. The Raiders are weak at quarterback. What a bunch of disrespect to two gentlemen, Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. They've never even played. And they've never even made a team. They're basically bust, and that's the way they're getting treated. So I believe the defense. And I'm not talking about, as Elite Med Staffing says, the 2000 Raiders defense was historic. And him being the play caller for that defense and Marvin Lewis. I'm not saying the Raiders are going to be 2000 Ravens or the 85 Bears. But if the Raider defense plays at a high level, not elite, very high level, it will change the game. It will change field position. What happens if the Raiders' special teams are the top 5 in football because of A.J. Cole, the best punter, Daniel Carlson, and let's say they figure out this new funky kickoff, which I don't like, where you can't kick it into the end zone, you got to take it out. What happens if the Raiders figure that out quicker than other teams and they get good field position? And then a guy like Christian Wilkins is able to turn over the football with Max Crosby, and there's a strip sack, as Pittsburgh has it on their own 18-yard line, and the next thing you know, boom, one play, Devontae, you're in for a touchdown. The bent-nosed prognosticators at the sports book can't figure that out because they don't believe it's going to happen. That's why the Raiders' season win total is 6.5 or 7. They don't believe that the defense can dominate. So I think when we play a little bit of this Marvin Lewis coming up here in a bit, this is important. You got Antonio Pierce, a linebacker, Super Bowl champ with the Giants. You got Marvin Lewis, Joe Philbin, who's a former head coach, Rob Ryan, friend of the show. Rob Ryan has been through everything. Patriots, dynasty, Raiders, his dad. He knows how to draw up a game plan. There's other good coaches on the defensive side. The defense has a chance to be one of the best that the Raiders have in quite some time. And I don't think they're done yet. I don't. I don't know this to be accurate or not, but I'm going to say it, that I believe that they're still out there looking for a corner. They're looking for a corner. And if you want to say that cornerback is a hole for them, well, they drafted two, one in the fourth and one in the seventh round. They got Jack Jones last year off the scrap heap. I mean, he was thrown out of New England, like tossed aside. He's playing pretty well. Nate Hobbs is a good player. And then we come down to Jakorian Bennett. You know, the guy was taken in the fourth round. He should be a starter. He shouldn't be looking over his shoulder. I don't know if he's good enough to get on the field. I'm a big fan of Stephon Gilmore, and I'm also a big fan of getting a cornerback who gets cut from another team during camp because there's competition with that team, and they draft, like Philadelphia drafted two defensive backs in the first round. Okay, in the first round. They went nuts. Well, say Philadelphia, for example, or Green Bay cuts a corner, a six-year veteran, because one of their rookies or young players just outperformed him. Bring him in. He's a starter for 6 years. He can start with the Raiders, unless the Raiders are impressive at the cornerback position in camp. I don't know that. That's one of the things I'm going to be keeping an eye on. So I don't think the Raiders are done yet. I don't. But I think coaching needs to be a bigger asset because everybody is crowning Jim Harbaugh like he's Vince Lombardi and Don Shula and Bill Belichick. Last I know, the Raiders beat Bill Belichick a few times, right? You know, Raiders weren't very good. They weren't a playoff. They win playoff games. And we're beating Mac Jones and the Patriots. Those Patriot teams are just as good as this garbage Charger team that's coming off 5 wins. But everybody wants to crown Harbaugh coming in, winning 11 and 12 in their first year. They won't do that for the Raider Nation. They won't do that for Raider Nation and say, you know, Raiders got a couple of really good players on defense, and if Gardner Minshew ends up starting over Aiden O'Connell or Aiden O'Connell gets off to a good start, this team can get on a roll. No one's saying that because they're not looking. They don't want to look. I can't recall many times in my 26, now going on whatever year it is with the Raiders, whatever the math says, I started in 98. I don't recall a time, and I'm not making this up, I don't recall a time where the Raiders weren't getting any buzz nationally. And that's a good thing because they're normally getting negative buzz. Oh, my God, you signed Jimmy Garoppolo? He's always hurt. Oh, he's going to get hurt. Josh McDaniels is your coach. He can't win. You know, remember that? I do because I had to do the show when you were out running to lunch or on a vacation. I had to host this show. And I had to sit here with all the negativity. Now there's none. Crickets. Quiet. I can't do a show today. I can't do 2-3. Thank God I don't do a 4-hour show today. I don't know if I can get through it. Everyone's just got quiet. Nothing going on. I'm going to play a little Marvin Lewis. I'm going to have Hacksaw next hour. Talk about other topics. I'm going to get to Scottie Scheffler. I'm going to get to the Mavericks blowing a game because it's all quiet in Raiderville, which I'm embracing. I like it. I don't like drama. I don't want to be a part of drama. I don't want to be a part of drama, and I don't want any drama around the Raider Nation now. And no one's talking. NFL Network, every day I get up, I'll throw on a little this, that, throw this on. I got a couple TVs in the house. Just prep for the show, right? No Raiders. None. Shh. No Raiders. NFL Network, nothing. Skip, my buddy Stephen A. Colin, who have nothing. Nothing with the Raiders. Zero, nada. Really? The team of the decades? All the Hall of Famers, the legends, the greatest games ever played, Raiders? Nothing. That's good. Let them be quiet. Let it be quiet. Let it be quiet. Let this thing build and let it build strongly from within. And then every once in a while, guys who know the Raiders like Peter Schrager or Jay Glazer or someone who I know will go on TV and say, you know, this Marcus Epps is playing well. And Marcus Epps is on TV? Because the other guys don't know who Marcus Epps is. They can't pronounce Trayvon Merrick. They don't even know who he is. You put on Fox Sports 1 or ESPN, the debate shows, they've never heard of Spillane. If you put Spillane on paper in front of them, they go, I don't know who this is. Who is this? They are not looking at this team at all. At all. And I think that's a positive. Let them sleep on the Raiders. The Raiders are better than their record of last year, and they've upgraded, and they have, no debate, a better team than they had last year. I don't think there's anybody who can debate with Brian Hoyer, injured Jimmy Garoppolo, Tyree Wilson not healthy to start the year. I don't know of anybody who could look you in the eye and say, you know, the Raiders are worse than last year. They'd be nuts to say that, but they're not acknowledging what the team is trying to do, nor do they get the connection of Telesco to Pierce or Pierce and Marvin Lewis. Everybody's sleeping on the Raiders. And until the Raiders start winning a lot, they're not going to get the attention. They're just not. But I'm going to have to give the hype every day, and no one will do it anywhere near me. No one will be at my level of bringing the hype for this team and organization. Never has, never will. There are people who have more information than me. There's people that might know more than me, more X's and O's. I'm not saying that. But I'm going to bring it balls out every day I'm on the radio. I'm going to protect the flank of the Raider Nation. I'm going to try to keep the Raiders relevant when these scoundrels who are going through their summer schedule are talking Harbaugh, Sean Payton, Harbaugh, Andy Reid, this and that, and they are disregarding the Raider Nation. That's what I wanted to open with today. That's it. Sleep on the Raiders, and if I'm wrong, you know where to find me. All this stuff now lives on YouTube, right? It lives on my podcast. Someone will clip it, cut it, and say, watch this from a year ago, and they'll play it, and I'll go, all the checks cleared. Never been better. It's all good. I'll take the heat for all the Raider Nation. I'm a season ticket holder. I want the team to win. But, you know, when we get to a day like today, you know, I just hope no one broke a leg. No one tore a groin. No one got arrested. No one said something stupid. It's all good. It's quiet. It's not gonna remain quiet. Something's going to happen. Someone's going to get injured. Something's going to happen. Someone's going to make a mistake. And we'll talk about it then. But as of now, we have some content coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll play about 6 or 7 minutes of Marvin Lewis. I wasn't able to listen because I took Mom and Dad to the original Pancake House, where they love the omelet, right here. You know where it is, Danny? It's right up here. And we had breakfast with my son and my wife because they're leaving tonight on the red eye, as I say, shocked by the red eye. I got a great perk today. A friend of mine's taking me golfing at the Wynn. Woo! Man, thank God I don't have to take out the credit card for that one. So I'm going to play some golf today, and I'm still talking about Bill Walton. Bill Walton's been heavy on me the last couple of days. Not that we were best friends and all that. Was much tighter with Jim Otto, who passed away and had his service the other day. But I still think there's more to say about Bill Walton. I really do. I'm sensing that there's more to say on Bill Walton that you haven't told me. Via on the chat, on Twitter, on YouTube, or you haven't called in at 702-365-9200. So if you want to do that on Bill Walton, that is still open, and we'll get going. Scottie Scheffler got off on all the Chargers there outside Valhalla. That's an interesting topic, and here's why. Here's the root of that topic, which makes it interesting. He's a white, privileged golfer who definitely broke some type of rules. He didn't stop on command. There was some type of controversy, and it's all gone away. Okay, I don't think he broke the law. I don't think he did anything. I think it was a misunderstanding, but there's been a lot of people involved in misunderstandings in the history of this country at traffic stops, and it didn't end well. So that thing is good for Scottie Scheffler. I'm not a judge. I'm not an attorney, but there are some people online outraged by this. There's another topic today which is big, that the Negro League stats are now going to become MLB stats. So now Josh Gibson could be considered the greatest baseball player of all time. I don't have a problem with that. I'm going to stay away from that third rail because there's a lot of people in my industry who are going to get in trouble saying something stupid on taking Negro League stats and putting them into MLB stats all time. Well, what about the Japanese leagues? What about this league, that league? Was the Negro League really the minor league? No. Negro League players weren't allowed to play. It was an injustice. It was one of the big worst injustices in the history of sports that African Americans weren't allowed to play baseball in the major leagues, and some of them were much better than the white players, and they weren't allowed to play. So I'm not going to go and freak out about that. A lot of people online are freaking out about that, unbelievably freaking out. I'm like, ooh, I'm all for everybody being happy in sports. And if you want to change the history of stats and you want to look at it and you think there's a reason behind that, maybe we'll do that on a podcast. But again, I got Raiders to talk about. I thought the NBA last night, give me a Karl Anthony Towns 3 if you got it. I got to give this guy credit. He was 0 for 7 from 3 in the game before. I didn't think he should be able ever be allowed to take a 3 again. He was pretty good last night.
Left-handed dribble. Down the left side of the lane. Out to Cat. He's going to fire on a 3 and drain it! 4 for 4 from long range for Karl Anthony Towns. And the Wolves lead by 6 with 2:48 left to play.
Wolves radio on the call. Wolves ended up winning that game. So no teams ever come back. Danny, no teams ever come back from 3-0, which I find remarkable because other teams that were up 3-0 had players that suffered injury, right? They had an injury or they just didn't play well or the other team woke up. Do you believe that this could be the first? Because before you answer, I would say this is the type of team that could do it. They have Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, the defensive player of the year. Anthony Edwards is brilliant. Luka could have an off night. Kyrie's been a head case. Is there a chance that they can do this? Because if they win the next game at home, it feels like game 6 is going to be game 7 in Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a chance. I just, like you said, if there is a team that's built for it, it is these Timberwolves. They're very good on the defensive end. Anthony Edwards can take over in a blink of an eye. However, they essentially have to, in quotes, sweep the Mavericks, win 4 straight. I don't see that happening. I think it's over in 5 at most to go 6. I don't think this reaches 7.
Yeah, if it turns out that the Wolves win their next game at home to cut it to 3-2, as I always said, that some people get it, some don't. Game 6 is game 7. Because game 6, whoever wins that, obviously if Dallas wins, it's over. If Minnesota wins game 6 in Dallas, there's no way Dallas is going to Minnesota. I think it winning that game. So I hope something good comes out of that. The Rangers lost in hockey last night in overtime. We'll get to that in a little bit. And then the rest of the headlines that are out there, I'll dive into. The wide receiver market has – the wide receiver market, this is a big topic. Nico Collins got a three-year $72.75 million extension. $52 million guaranteed. He's not Devontae. And Devontae's has made some good money. I want to get into the topic on the wide receiver market that is changing there. So that's the monologue brought to you by La Casa Cigars. You can go to Tivoli Village, over 500 cigar selection, walk-in humidor, private memberships. You sit in the back, TVs, live music. Mike and his staff does a pretty good job. And I don't demand anything, but I respect people who call in and tweet and interact with this show. I just gave you 30 minutes uninterrupted. You won't find that anywhere with one guy. So jump on in. We'll hear from Marvin Lewis coming in on the other side. We'll talk about more of what I think is a big topic. The Raiders, their coaches. Here's the topic today. The coaches getting no respect. I mean, didn't we bring in Joe Philbin and Marvin Lewis? Did that not move the needle in regards to respecting Antonio Pierce? And Tom Coughlin is a high-end confidant of Antonio Pierce, and he won 2 Super Bowls over Bill Belichick. Where do you stand on the Raider coaching staff going forward? Not everyone's experienced. Not everyone's been in the league 30 years. I think they got a lot of experience in that room, and I don't think they're getting credit for that as we open up the show. The franchise, Lee Hacksaw Hamilton, will join us next hour. And then we have another inductee into the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. I get to MC that event, and I always have an opportunity to talk to the inductees before anybody else who's out there. If you know golf, Brady Expert is going to join us, and he's getting in. I'm looking forward to that conversation at 105 Pacific.
Welcome back to the JT the Brick Show, brought to you by PT's, the best happy hour in town, 5 to 7 p.m. and midnight to 2 a.m.
JT, back with you as we continue. We'll play some Marvin Lewis coming up here in a bit. And a couple of things I was talking about, if you subscribe to us on YouTube, JT the Brick YT, you'll hear us during the breaks, top of the hour, when we go away on your radio, when we come back. We're always going to be here, so we have an opportunity to interact with you on that platform, too. What I was talking to the guys and gals about here is, what's the difference between disrespecting a team and sleeping on a team? I don't think the Raiders are getting disrespected. They're not a playoff team. They went to the playoffs under Rich Bisaccia and didn't win a playoff game. I think they're a good team. I think they're better than the record. But who cares? You got to win. So that, I think some fans are sleeping on the Raiders' ability to be good. But I also know if they don't make the playoffs, it's not disrespect if NFL insiders say, look, I'm not picking the Raiders to make the playoffs. I'm fine with that. I'm just saying elaborate on why you don't think they're good enough to make the playoffs. So I just found out that, and this is interesting, this comes from Bet Online. The spreads are out at Bet Online for every NFL game this season, and they broke it down week by week, team by team. Here are some of the more interesting trends. The 49ers are favored in every game. They are the only team that is favored in every game they're playing. Wow. Every game that's on their schedule, they are a favorite to win. Three teams are favored for most after the Niners. Kansas City in 15 games, Baltimore in 14, and Cincinnati, Dallas. But the Jets, oh my God, the Jets are favored in 14 games. What am I missing? How in God's name are the Jets favored in 14 games? Dallas, I get. Cincy, I get. I don't agree with Cincy. I think they're trending downwards. Baltimore and Kansas City, I understand. And the Jets have six primetime games in the first 11, and they're favored in 14 games. Hey, man, I'm not a gambler. If you're a gambler out there, that's a good topic to call me on. How are the Jets doing that? And then these teams are underdogs the most after the Panthers. The Panthers are the only team in the NFL that is an underdog in every single game. New England is an underdog in 16 games along with Tennessee. Denver and Las Vegas, our Raiders, are underdogs in 15 games. We, the Raider Nation, are only favored against Denver at home and Carolina at home. Every game on the schedule, we're an underdog. Tough to go out and predict 10, 11 wins when you throw that number at you. I'm not good at math, but the sharps in Vegas are, and they don't think the Raiders, you know, that doesn't mean they don't think the Raiders are going to win games. They set the number at 6.5 to 7, but they're underdogs in 15 games. Week one has the most home teams favored with 15. And week six of the NFL schedule is the only week where more road teams, 8, are favored than home teams, 6. So as we look at all these point spreads as the season opens up and they give you week one, Raiders at the Chargers, Chargers -3. We heard 3.5 yesterday from Jeff Sherman. You pretty much get 3 to be at home. That's kind of a Raider pick'em game on the road where they're going to be playing in front of their home fans. I like the Raiders to win that game. That's such a big game for the Raiders. All right, Eric heard my monologue. He wanted to jump in on something he overheard. Eric, thanks for calling the show. What's happening?
Hey, JT, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
So, long story short, I work at a very well-known and well-respected golf resort out here in the area. Mm-hmm. And we just had a huge event. We had a broadcasting event where we had a big party come in, a bunch of well-respected household names in NFL and ESPN broadcasting were out there. I'm not going to drop names.
Okay.
I'm not going to do that. But I had the opportunity to have a conversation with a couple of these guys. Kind of dropped it out, like, oh, you know, I'm a big Raider fan, can't wait to see what they're doing this year. And both of these guys, in their own respect, away from each other, have basically were just bashing on the organization the whole time, and they didn't really believe in the improvements that we were making. One of them specifically said, you know, they say pride and poise, but it's more like pride and poison of the culture that they've turned that place into. Another guy told me, he said, you know, commitment to excellence. And I said, oh, yeah, of course. And he says, well, what we usually say in the booth is commitment to excrement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And JT, I could not believe what I was hearing from these guys to my face. I mean, I respect these guys, you know, always in a treat with respect.
Well, were they talking about, Eric, were they talking about the culture of Josh McDaniels? Were they disrespecting? I mean, the culture of the Raiders seems pretty strong with Antonio Pierce, the cigar parties, everybody being on the same page. So it sounds like they weren't given much respect from what you overheard to Antonio Pierce and Tom Telesco.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. they also kind of said, one of them also kind of mentioned, I think their best years are behind them. Mm-hmm. I think the first stint that Gruden had was the best chance, the chances they had at anything.
Okay.
And if they're going to be successful going forward, they have to do a change in ownership. And JT, yeah. I'm 35. I just turned 35 years old. I have a son that I just turned 3 years old this past mm-hmm. week. I've been a Raider, diehard Raider for my whole life. I don't have a lot of glory years, as you know, with my age. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a lot of successful Raider football. Mm-hmm. And it kills me every year, JT. I'm very passionate about this franchise. Mm-hmm. And we never get the respect.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of it.
I can tell.
Sick of it. And it kills me. And I'm really upset that I can't do anything mm-hmm. to change it. And I want a better future. I want something to be mm-hmm. proud of so I can tell my son, this is Raider football.
All right. Thanks, Eric. I appreciate the call. You know, I appreciate your passion. I could hear it in your voice. Look, you know I'm pro Mark Davis, and I know how much Mark wants to win. And I've said it, and I'll continue to say it. He gets out of the way. He provides the organization with the best equipment, best facilities, best of everything. And he tries to get out of the way and let the coaches coach and the players play. And I know no one who wants to win as much as Mark. He really does. And the things he's done, from buying Hall of Fame rings for the deceased Hall of Famers, what he's done for the players behind the scenes here that I know more of than most. I can't sit here and tell you that every day. You got to figure it out on your own. But yeah, there's not much of an argument that you could say to NFL analysts or former players if they look at the Raiders and they have an opinion that's different than yours. But if you were having that conversation, Eric, and you sat down a little bit longer, and you probably didn't have the position to do that if it's a big football seminar. If you were able to go player by player, position by position, the new coaches, everything I did in the monologue, I'd like to hear what those gentlemen said. And if they just said, well, they're not going to win because of blank, they're just the Raiders, then they're haters. Then they're haters. Then they just don't want the Raiders. And there are plenty of broadcasters and players who despise the Raiders when they played against them and are broadcasters now, and maybe they don't want to give them the respect. But I appreciate your call on that. 702-365-9200. Marvin Lewis met the media a little while ago, earlier today, in front of the media in attendance at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. Here's a few minutes of it.
Hey, guys.
Morning. Good.
All right, guys, go ahead and open up the question. Hey, Marvin, Vinny Bossier with the Review Journal. Welcome to Vegas. I was just curious, what about this role at this stage of your career was so appealing?
Well, I think just the opportunity to really assist AP, from the time that I first met him and had the opportunity to coach him, and then the opportunity to kind of reunite again later on at Arizona State. And so it's kind of in a similar role at one point there with him there as well, being in support of him. And I just have been really impressed all the time with him back to 2002 with the now Commanders, I guess. But, so just this opportunity, the rest of the coaching staff I spent time with last year, ironically, with the guys, particularly on defense, and my coach Mike Caldwell. I had Ricky Manning on my staff at an All-Star game. I met Gerald, he's been 19, at Cal Berkeley. Robbie's career, Leonard, and just so really these guys in association with them and all they've done. So just excited about the opportunity and the offensive staff as well.
It's probably a role that is defined not only by you, but like how people are approaching you and asking you and tapping into your knowledge. How has that gone so far, and what do you define the role as?
Well, I define the role as kind of speak when spoken to. I'm here to support them and anything I can do that way, as well as the squad, the players. But that's the thing that's important to me, that, I try to keep things leveled out for them as much as I can.
At what point did you realize that AP was coach material?
Well, I don't know that then. I knew he was driven as a player. And I said that to him in 2021 at ASU when he became the coordinator, and we flipped roles. And I went back off the field, and, he came to me during the bye week, and he said, how am I doing? I said, man, you're doing really good. But you also need to take some time for yourself and take a deep breath as well. But he's so driven. And I said, that's why how you became such a great player, is you're just so driven. And he also, you know, I think based on how things happened in the fall and so forth, once he took over and reaching out to Coach Coughlin, reaching out to myself and the people that he had come in and be around, and just so he could bounce ideas off of, you know, he's not, what's the word, stuck on himself that way, you know. He wants to hear other people's point of views and so forth that way, and that's good. But he has a great direction himself, you know, as a leader. You know, he takes responsibility for providing the direction and reinforcing it each and every day.
Hey, Coach, it's Tashawn Reed from The Athletic. I know when you first became a head coach, you were roughly around the same age as AP, and so you know, some of the first that he's going through and learning process that he's within now. How beneficial do you think it is to him to have somebody that's kind of going through a similar journey in that sense?
I hope it is. You know, I think I benefited from having the opportunity to work for two guys who became head coaches for the first time, Brian Billick and Bill Cowher. And then and Coach Spurrier, who had been a head coach, but first time in the National Football League. So I think those were helpful to me when I got the opportunity to become a head coach. And so it was really, and hopefully I can help benefit AP as well that way.
Did you envision or seek eventually getting back in a role like this, or is this all just kind of come organically because of AP?
It came pretty organically. But, you know, I'm excited about it. I had a couple other people inquire at times about my interest in doing something similar. And, you know, the proximity to where I've made my permanent home also helped. The fact that, you know, it's not very far away from Scottsdale. So that's the good thing. And my three grandsons that I miss.
There's another young coach on the staff, so I think as head coach possibilities, and that's Patrick Graham. The defensive coordinator. How's it been working with Patrick?
It's been a real pleasure. You know, I didn't know Pat. I knew of Pat prior to last fall, but my opportunity to be around and with him in December and January and through this whole process just been awesome. And anybody that asks me, I'm very supportive of him becoming a head coach, hopefully in this next cycle. I think he's deserving, both from ability, knowledge, his ability to handle the players and so forth. I really am impressed each and every day. And, you know, so I'm trying to also be helpful to him as he goes forward with this process as well.
Coach, Levi Edwards from Raiders.com. You know, even from the Commanders to Arizona State, now Arizona State to the Raiders, what would you classify as AP's biggest area of improvement from those three steps?
I don't know that I can put my finger on a biggest area of improvement. I think the biggest thing that I think where he has really done a nice job is understanding the pulse of the football team. And I think he did that at ASU when I was with him. You know, he would come to me and he said, when I was supposedly the defensive coordinator and he was the linebacker coach assisting me, I think the guys need to run today after defense needs to run today after practice. I said, okay, just, you know, make sure we don't kill him. and I think that was evident to me at the end of the fall last year. And I think it's been evident through this process now, how we began the OTA process and so forth, how well we, you know, he's really conscious of the physical condition of the players and making sure we get all of our right guys to the gate. And I think that's really important as a head coach in the NFL. You know, there's a degree of you know, schematics, a degree of toughness, conditioning, and all those things we're trying to get to. But the key element is when September, whatever date that is, rolls around, we got all the right guys out there suited up, as many of them as we can.
Okay, so that was a portion of Marvin Lewis. There's a lot more of that. I was really impressed with that 7 or 8 minutes there, and the big takeaway for me, and all of that's up at Raiders.com and on all social media platforms, what he said about Patrick Graham. He believes Patrick Graham will be gone in the next coaching cycle as a head coach, and so do I. So do I. So I really believe that Patrick Graham, I hope we have him here for a long time. He's a hell of a coach. And I know he's gone through some bumpy times here, and the personnel's getting better, and we're seeing his style of coaching in general. But Marvin Lewis said that. Don't take it from me. Take it from Marvin Lewis. Three grandsons. That's cool to know. Nice. He's a family guy, and he really respects Coach Pierce. JT with you, brought to you by Modelo. You know, it's the number one beer in America. Wasn't when we started on the radio. Now it is. Modelo. My buck in the Modelo's on Friday. Proud partner of the show.
Welcome back to the JT the Brick Show, brought to you by Local 872, your workforce solution.
Yeah, led by Tommy White, building the city on time and on budget. JT in studio. Brady Expert is going to join us coming up next, one of the most decorated and accomplished amateur golfers in Southern Nevada history. He'll be a new member enshrined into the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. In about 2 weeks, I'll have the opportunity to emcee that event. Next week, Thursday and Friday, I'll be in Chicago for Mike Ditka's Gridiron Greats. Coach Ditka isn't able to travel anymore. He lives in Naples, Florida, not in Chicago, but I'll emcee the event in Chicago. And Brian Urlacher will be the host of it. I'll be the emcee. Mike Singletary's getting inducted. Steve Largent. Vince Papalier. A really good class, so I'm excited about that. I'll be able to get out of Vegas for a couple days and head on out to Chicago. So two big events. I just went through Coaches versus Cancer, which is always uplifting and fantastic. So I like the opportunity I get to work for some of these charities and raise awareness. In the next couple of weeks, the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame and Mike Ditka's Gridiron Greats, something I've been doing for quite some time that's really important to me. Hour number two coming up, including Lee Hacksaw Hamilton, who will join us, the franchise in Southern California. No, he's not a Raider fan. I don't think he's a Raider hater, but he's got unbelievable access to what's happening in the AFC West. So we'll talk to him coming up on the other side. He's got a bunch of topics. Hacksaw's really good on topics. He'll have a lot of them there. And that's it. We thank all of our partners constantly. We want to thank the DeCasta Verde Law Group. If you get into an accident, 702-222-9999. Alex and Orlando DeCasta Verde and the legacy of their father and the firm they built together, they will help you. The brothers have your back.